I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Youper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot! Score! Oh, Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Penalty. The penalty is over. Here's Leibinger. Shoot! Score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thanks very much, and let's get to the Joe Schott Hour. Delayed a day today because of the Alaska trip, and it was a long Alaska trip. Coach is back with us safe and sound, and we are happy about that. And welcome back to the show, Coach. Welcome back to the mainland.
Yeah, it's great to be back, Dirk. When we hit that, when we landed in Hancock yesterday, it was a great feeling.
I bet. It is a long trip. And the guys did a great job. I mean, going up there undefeated in the four games. Yeah, we didn't get a couple of extra points there in the WCHA, but really probably deserved a little bit better in the Anchorage series. And just a great weekend up in Fairbanks. Just a good, solid put a stamp on that game type of a weekend for Michigan Tech, I thought.
Yeah, it was, you know, I was really looking forward to that game. Just like I remember back when you and I talked, I was really looking forward to the Union game when we played Union back at the Icebreaker. We'd been practicing well. You could see some things going on. You could see that growth happening. I was looking forward to this trip because I was looking forward to that one-on-one time with players, that isolation to the game, that, you know, that complete focus away from the classroom and things like that. And that, you know, that week in between where you could really take some time to grow as a unit, and it paid off. I think we made the most of it in how we managed things. First of all, Brian Brewster did a great job. Matt Samagret did a great job, on preparing us. Mikey Stevens did a great job on making it as seamless of a trip as it could have been. The travel from leaving here, to coming back into here, not having to have that extra leg on the bus and things like that, and then all the accommodations and everything at while we were there, all those guys did an incredible job making it, just allowing us to focus on the hockey, and I think that the players did a great job on how they prepared themselves and came and got their rest and their nutrition and everything, and then we were able to just focus on hockey, and I think we made the most of it. I think we grew a lot as a team.
I think that's lost by a lot of fans, maybe don't realize how important that is. Those guys behind the scenes, the hockey ops guys and the travel arrangers like Brian Brewster and Stevens and everybody else involved with that, to make that as easy for the team, because that transfers into how they play sometimes.
That's right. And you know, with the meal set up and where and how, especially over the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, there's a lot of places are shut down, and we're in Fairbanks for Thanksgiving again. And, there's not a lot in Fairbanks. There's a couple of convenience stores and things like that, but there's not a lot. They did an incredible job. And then we got the guys out of the hotel enough. Brew did a great job with our accommodations this year in Anchorage so that the guys could get out, walk around, get to the downtown area and get to malls and get quickly to restaurants and things like that to pick up the food that when we gave them time on their own and stuff. So, again, they were incredibly important to the success that we had on that trip, as they are to everything that we do. They're an equal part of everything that we do, if not more at most times. So they all did a great job. Mikey did a great job on getting us the video, the prep work that we needed when we needed it. Tyler Schlass was along with us on the trip, keeping the guys in tone and in tune and with what they needed to do. So, and then we had both coaches up there. We had one coach up for one weekend and one on the road recruiting, and then we flip-flopped them and went vice versa on it. So, I think everybody did an outstanding job and only stamped by the job the players put in. Again, the growth, I think in the team over that time, you know, it's double-edged. Do you want to take a break? We need a break. We need that time off. We're dinged up. We're tired. You know, we need that time off. We've been pushing hard, as everybody knows. We've been pushing the team hard, to try to really get some growth spurts and get some consistency. So we need the time off, but, you'd also like to see some guys that are really starting to make some strides. You'd like to see them continue that and not slip back just because of time. But the break right now is really important.
And we mentioned a little bit during the broadcast up there, but you had to make some last minute travel changes too, as far as the roster that was going to be heading up there to Alaska because of, Devin Carroll got banged up in practice, right? Wasn't able to make the trip.
Yeah. Devin was actually the week before he was dinged the week before. So he didn't practice the days before we left. Monday and Tuesday before we left, he got injured twice the week before in practice. We did use him a bit in the game against Northern. We brought him in the game against at Northern Michigan. Maybe shouldn't have, in retrospect, but we did because he gave us a chance to come back in that game. So we did use him, but he got dinged up a little bit, so that put us behind. So we adjusted some things around that right on the very last day. We were just waiting for clearance to see if he was available.
Right, because you usually would take three goaltenders, correct?
Yeah, that was the plan. But he was again totally unavailable. You'd rather have a player up there that you can work with that has the availability to play than one that you're waiting on a protocol and waiting to see. And he wasn't going to be able to get. We didn't know if he was going to be able to get the medical attention for the clearance to be able to play. So, now we'll find out. I'll find out when I get back in the office this morning. We'll get a better feel for where he's at. But he has another week here to, and another 2 weeks almost to get himself back. So that and he was playing extremely good goal for us. Mm-hmm. So he's a valuable part of what we do, as all our guys are. So we want to get him back.
Well, let's go back to the Anchorage weekend a little bit, Coach, and just kind of summarize that. It was frustrating because I thought we played really well offensively, and defensively, but certainly great scoring opportunities. I know you mentioned that we're just challenged right now to put the puck in the net, even after some great plays and obviously a lot of shots in those first two games.
Yeah, and more than the shots, because the Fairbanks games, I don't want to jump ahead, where they were not indicative of the games, like the shot totals on how those things were done. They were, but it's the scoring attempts that and everything that we do works backwards off of that. Scoring chances for and scoring chances against, and what causes them and who causes them, and that's how we make a lot of our determinations, and that's what we're looking for in practice, is the guys that can do those things in those situations, and within how we manage the group. So we generated a ton of offense at Anchorage, a ton of offense, 35 chances, over 60 chances in the two games. Wow. That's a lot. Now, we're not talking shots. We're talking about scoring chances where they legitimately, have a chance of going in the net where they're quality chances. 62, and that's a lot. We gave up under 20 in the two games. So, those are numbers that are really off the charts. And the second game was probably the most telltale. I believe it was the second game. In the first period alone, we had, five open net type looks. We had, Mitch Renke had two on the back door in the power play. Exact same play. Luch gave, fed him on the back door, 10 feet out, probably about 10 feet out, and he wasn't able to handle either of them. Neither of those were even given as being, shots or attempts on goal, which they were. They were, he got shots off on both of them, but, missed the net on them. And we had several of those. Ray Bryce had one. We had a couple breakaways. We had several 2-on-1s. We had, where you just had to, you just have to be confident and fluent in your delivery and what you're doing. Over a period of time, you gain that, and over a period of time, you lose that. You gain it in practice, you lose it in practice. You build it in a game, you lose it in a game. But we were challenged for quite some time, so you're not quite sure. And really, we came off, we started the year really well on the power play. We scored two power play goals at Wisconsin. We scored power play goals against Union when we needed them. We scored power play goals against Duluth when we needed them. The power play was really carrying us. Then the power play went kind of cold, and I won't say cold, but Luch's line has created things, but they haven't scored. That we had a couple games in there where Gavin Gould has had some special games for us. But as a whole, that line hasn't scored much. So then it gets to be, you know, with the talk that we've been having, okay, you are what you are. You know, we got off to that great start, but everything's settling in. Now is what we are. And now you have to, now you need the growth. And we've been talking about that consistently, about stepping up and doing things. And you're looking for that growth in the individuals to be able to do it all the time. You know, not just come out when teams aren't necessarily ready defensively, penalty kills aren't ready defensively, guys aren't playing as systematically defensively against you, but now is the grind of it. And we hadn't shown it consistently over that period of time, probably starting with the second game at Lake State. But now I think, we're starting to see the scoring chances evolve. And then it's a matter of, with that, confidence can grow. As long as you don't slip backwards and keep slipping backwards, confidence can grow in being able to put pucks in the net and things like that. And so I hopefully we're starting to see some of that with the output that we had in Fairbanks.
Is one of the guys growing, Coach, that maybe is not a flashy type player, but we're starting to see him put the puck in the net? He has 4 goals now, I believe. Is Thomas Beretta, are we seeing growth from Thomas now and become more of a impact player for us a little bit?
Well, Tom's really important in a lot of ways for us. He's kind of like Thomas Holmstrom for us, he used to play for the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. He's that size strength guy that gives you that battle opportunity and things like that. Now he was a 40 goal guy in junior hockey, so he has, if he gets a chance at an open net, he has the ability to put that puck in the net. We started using him on a power play for his one timing ability, and he scored some goals for us on it. You could do some set plays and get pucks to him so that he could hit them. And he was doing that. So he's important, but there's a couple guys that have really, really grown their game for us. Brent Baltus is playing the best hockey by far that he has ever played. As far as a consistent fashion, shift after shift, providing us that leadership that you look for, out of not only a senior, but out of a captain. He's leading quietly. There's times now when we were in Alaska when he could see something on the ice and he knew that we were going to address it. And he looked at me and he said, "I got it, coach." And he would take care of it. When you start getting that inner accountability within the group, that's when it takes off. It means so much more. I can hear a lot of things from my kids and anything like that, but when my wife looks at me and says, you pay more attention to it, so that when it comes from a player, and it's legit, and it's backed up by someone who has your respect, it means a lot. So he's been great. Smitty's been absolutely tremendous. That line of Jackson, Smith, and Baltus has been tremendous as far as the example line that you would want. Mm-hmm. And with that, before we were getting that out of Dylan Steeman and Ray Bryce and Justin Misiak, that we would have a lot of clips that we could use as examples, because you want to show them what you want. You don't want to harp on video on what you don't want, because they see that. That's what locks in their brain, mm-hmm. the visualization. You want to show them what you want. Well, now we're getting those types of shifts and things and those experiences out of some players that not to take anything away from anybody else, but are really significantly offensively impacting the game. And that's a big deal going forward.
It is. And, you talk about Brent Baltus, and there's a moment up there that, it was before the second practice the morning skate before the second game in Fairbanks. And I think you were in the locker room, in the coach's room, and Baltus and two or three of the other power play guys, I think, were out just in the area outside of the entrance to walk onto the, to skate onto the ice. And Tyler Schlass might have been there, and they're just talking about it was just very casual conversation. And I was saying as I was sitting there, man, I wish I could video this right now. Can't video it. I don't want to video it because they're talking about schemes. But it was just a great view of the way Baltus thinks. And the way the guys think on, I think we need to do this. Oh yeah, I got this. Okay, we'll do this. And that's how it was. And I thought, wow, it'd be great for all the Husky fans to be able to see this. I mean, it's just, an insight to a lot of to one of the things that the casual fan doesn't get a chance to see. And I think it shows the intelligence of these guys out there.
Well, and I think it really shows what you're trying to accomplish, when you're, working with a group. Mm-hmm. You can be egotistical. I can be egotistical and think that I have a, you know, a huge impact on what goes on. But what my job is to direct it. But really, and what I tell the guys, I tell it often, you know, we are not trying to program robots here. We're trying to, develop leaders which do exactly what you said, which take accountability within themselves and grow within themselves. And we're trying to get guys, you know, I use the statement a lot. Give a guy a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a guy to fish, feed him for a lifetime. And what you're talking about right there is, you know, the guys are teaching each other to fish. You know what I mean? They're teaching each other to have sustained success, to have survival, you know, instincts to grow. When it comes from within, because then all of a sudden they're coming to you, hey coach, how about this? You know, Dylan Stamen was doing that on the penalty kill. He's really been taking an unbelievable role in that. Hey coach, this is what they're doing. Maybe if we tried this. You think, all right, yeah, it's a great call, Dilbo. Let's work it. You know, get, cause him and Brent are paired off in the penalty kill. Let's try it, see how it works. And then you can implement it with other guys and try it with other guys. Some of the schemes and things they do. So when you get that inner dynamic, and that's what you look for. You look for that chemistry and that voice to come from within the group. Because as their voice grows, your voice can lessen. When your voice lessens, it has much more impact on the group. I had much too strong a voice, in the way I manage, you know, early on. But I felt it was needed to, you know, to hold accountability, to provide expectation. You know, it probably offends some people. It probably doesn't offend some people, but I think it's important that the message always comes out consistently to our players. What we're after. They don't get a different message. They get a more direct message, but they don't get much of a different message than I give at any other time. It's the expectations of what we want. It's accountability. It's a step up. And again, I think it's really important that all the staff, can step back and not look to overly engage, but look to just be part of the rudder that steers the group and lets the group you know, take control of the way we're going, and then to jump in there when it needs to be pulled back or it needs to be, you know, some things. And then you have the trust and the dynamic working within each other, mm-hmm. talking back and forth on the things like you're saying, on adjustments on the special teams. That's the power play unit that you're talking about. That's carried us. Right. You know, we got the goal the other night, which was really a crazy play. The goal that Gavin Gould threw, that backhand pass across to Renke. That's the first power play goal they've gotten in like a dozen games, like in a long time. The other group has been scoring all the goals with Beretta and those guys. They've been getting all our goals for us. So not that group isn't starting to get looks, but they haven't been scoring goals for us. So the group you're talking about is the group that's really done the great job of getting the puck in the net.
Let me ask you this before we close out on Anchorage and move on to Fairbanks after the break. What was your feeling, Coach, after the Anchorage series? Did you feel upset that we didn't win and we lost those extra points, or that did you feel happy that we played well, certainly had opportunities to win each game and just maybe didn't get some bounces? What was your feeling leaving that?
I'd say more the latter than the former. It was, I told them you can't do much more than you're doing as far as generating what you need to generate and eliminating what you need to eliminate. When Anchorage had some good shots, they went in the net, you know. We didn't give up, you know. If you remember the Friday night game at Anchorage, Joel Esperance went out early with a hit from behind and was disqualified from the game. So that threw our forward lines and power play units and things a little bit out of whack. So that 1-1 game, you know, and we still generated 30-plus scoring chances. So I came out of that just feeling that we have to bear down more, get ourselves into greasy areas, get ourselves into hard ice, and pay the price on how to do that consistently. To keep driving it and then keep focusing on expanding the range of our shooters, which we've been working on, and then maintaining our compete level.
What does that mean, expanding the range of your shooters?
Well, when you get an open net from, you can get an open net from 1 foot out and, you know, tap it in. You can get an open net from 15 feet out and tap it in. Okay. You can get an open net from 30 feet out and tap it in. It's the ability to make a play and get that shot off before a goaltender can move. So we've been doing a lot of work on that, on guys coming in areas, on 2-on-1 drills and things like that, and on 2-on-2 drills, getting guys confident in shooting from farther out. A great example would be the goal that got us back in the game by Alex Smith against, Fairbanks the first night. Mm-hmm. He walked a seam, and I told the guys on Saturday, said that, you know, we do several drills that create that exact shot. And they've been doing them for years. You know, these guys have been doing them here for years. That same seam, walking the seam and shooting it. That shot was shot. He shot that from quite a ways out, saw an opening and shot it and got us on the board. So that's what I'm getting at when I say expanding your range.
Gotcha, Coach. All right, well, take a break. The Huskies, we'll talk about the Fairbanks weekend in just a little bit. 1-1 tie in Alaska on Friday night, 3-3 tie on Saturday night. The Huskies did not come up with the extra points in the shootout and in the overtimes in the WCHA, but they still go down as NCAA ties. We'll wrap up the Fairbanks weekend when we come back. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
This isn't going to work. No matter what we say, some people still drive drunk. But we're Budweiser. Giving a damn is what we do. So, if you think it's okay to drive drunk, if you think it's something that's debatable, or you just simply don't care, this Bud is not for you. Give a damn. Don't drive drunk. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
When you're looking for that special something for you or yours, come see us at the campus store in the Memorial Union Building or University Images at the Student Development Complex. We freshen up our inventory with brands such as Kickerland, Mustard, Jenny's, and Haiku. And check out our updated lines of Everest, Nike, Under Armour, and Champion. Browse our social media feeds for updates on our sales, promotions, services, and business hours. For all things Michigan Tech, visit us at University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. We thank you for your patronage and look forward to seeing you soon.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Glad to have you with us. You still have time to get your questions in, and we'll be going through questions. So we're going to start maybe a little earlier than we normally. Take a look at the Fairbanks weekend, taking on a loss coming in after a couple of ties and WCHA extra point losses against Anchorage. And this Friday night game, Coach, up there, just one of those where the first period and a little bit there, we're down 3-9. I think I mentioned, didn't think we really did anything wrong. It just all of a sudden we're down 3-0. It just seemed weird.
Yeah, they made some plays where they found openings, and we had guys with the players that scored. So you know, our message after the first on Friday at Fairbanks was, you know, let's just get the next one. And then they came out right away, 40 seconds in or whatever in the second period and scored right away. But I think a big thing that happened there, first of all, I think that week being together helped us, because I think the mood of the team was really good. from the week that we had. And then another thing I think that, that played a big part in us being able to come back was that we did it in the third period on against Anchorage. We were down 3-1 in the third period against Anchorage. We brought in, we made a goaltending change with about 5 minutes left in the second against Anchorage, and then came back and dominated the third, dominated overtime until they got the one shot that they scored on. So we took that game over so we could use that as a springboard and say, okay, fellas, you know, we've been here before. Let's just take it one at a time and get back in this thing. And they did it. Our guys did, I thought, a great job responding to that, and we potted a couple.
Alex Smith gets his second goal of the trip up there. To kind of get us going, get that first goal. And you mentioned him. Todd Keelan gets an assist. You put Todd Keelan in that game. You put Mark Ock up front. That was an interesting change that seemed to work.
Yeah, it made us better. We're a better hockey team right now because of that adjustment. I think Ocker was a little bit relieved by it. You know, first of all, I got to give him total credit for being the professional that he is. We asked him to do something that we hadn't done here before. He hadn't played that position here before. He's an incredible young man. He's an incredible hockey player. He was defenseman of the month in the league for the first month of the year. But we needed to make an adjustment to generate offense up front and to solidify some things defensively. And Ocker stepped right up and whatever we need, I'll do. And he did it and he scored. He scored in that first game against Fairbanks and created us some offense to the point where you want to expand his role now a little bit up there. And then Todd Killinan came in there, back there and did an unbelievable job. That was a great play he made on that move. For a guy who hasn't played ever, he made a move. He made an inside-out move where he got the guy to cross over into the middle and then took an outside move down the wall and fed it to Smitty and created time and space for Smitty. He drew everybody to the middle. And gave it to Smitty where he could walk a seam and then get a shot off. So it was a great play by Todd.
That was the third goal. So the Huskies then take the lead on a Mitch Ranke power play goal that we had talked about on that great feed from Lucchini and Gould. That made it 4-3. We give up a goal, kind of a bad break on that redirection that was going well wide of the net, 7-8 feet wide of the net, and went off a toe or a shin pad of the...
Double redirection.
It was a double
redirection. Yeah, went off of their guy going wide one way, then it was bounced back and was going wide the other way, and went off of, I believe, Luch and into the net. It was a double and rolled in the net, so it was a... Yeah, that was an unfortunate break.
So we go to overtime. The Huskies are tied 4-4. We go to overtime. We had some great opportunities and a great play to Lucchini from... Lesperance.
Far for him, poked away, Gould with it again. Lesperance trying to find it. It's bottled up just inside of the Alaska zone. And nice play. Here's a chance for Lucchini. Walks in, she scores! Oh, Lucchini with a goal! Wins the game in overtime. 57.2 seconds left. What a play by Lesperance on the assist. And the Huskies get a win 5-4 in overtime here in Fairbanks.
What I like is the different perspective you can get from one player to another player that was on the ice. So talking to Lucchini after that on how he was kind of cheating a little bit and then felt he better drop back a little bit and went back towards the goal again. He goes, yes, I was kind of concerned because if it got past Joel, it might be a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-1 back the other way. I asked Joel Lesperance about the same thing. I said, Joel, were you at all concerned that puck got by you? That was an odd man, right? Goes, no, I have Keegan Ford behind me. I wasn't worried at all about it. So two guys on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes that is the issue too. Yeah, and you're right. We talked about that on the pregame on Saturday. We talked about the fact that Luch did back up to cover that, which opened up a better passing seam,
right,
and gave him a chance to expand his range. You know, you get too tight on that goalie, and some of the net goes away, the angle changes. And so Luch was able to get a good look from outside the top of the circles in, and then decided he had a quick little dribble there around the hash marks and let the puck go from a little ways out and was able to beat the goaltender. But, you know, the irony about that play is that day we were talking in our pregame, in our meeting during that game, or during that day, after our pregame skate, our morning skate, and we were talking about the Tavares shift. And I think I talked about that in the radio.
And I went back and watched that after you mentioned it.
Is that not unbelievable?
Same idea too.
Yeah, everybody should, you know, anybody who loves hockey should watch that John Tavares, shift against Philadelphia, and I don't know if it was an overtime, but it was the game winner. Mm-hmm. But he takes on a guy on a one-on-one along the wall, and his ability to make a little bit of space with a guy that's doing everything he can, an NHL defenseman, pinning and holding and forcing him to bad ice, and then to make the play that he made, and he totally mesmerized everybody, and Tavares got the puck into the slot. Same play. The very same play that, you know, a little bit lower down, but gave the puck to the guy in the slot who walked in and scored. And we talked about that, and I told everybody to watch that clip. We were trying to get it on the video and couldn't get it off the tweet line, for our pregame video. But I told everybody to watch it, and it was virtually the same type of play. It was a battle on the half wall. We came out of the puck with the battle. The battle ensued for quite some time. We came out of it. Joe, being a right-handed shot, had puck protection in his favor, with where he brought it out of the pile and was able to feed Luch, and Luch walked in and made no mistake. So, again, you love to see those things that you can bridge together because they really stamp home a learning point.
Great goal, and the Huskies win it 5-4, a comeback win after being down 3-0. That says a lot. Shots in that game, 43-31, and the Huskies get the overtime victory by a score of 5-4. So we go to Saturday night, Michigan Tech all over, Nanooks in that game as Brent Baltus gets the goal scoring going for Michigan Tech.
Smith, the centerman, coming in to pick it up. Got a little bit of room now. Looks up ice. Nice pass up for Baltus. Baltus coming down. Makes a move. It scores! Brent Baltus with a great goal and a nice feed by Smith, who had his head up as soon as he got the puck. Hit the stretch pass up to the captain, and the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
That might have been Smith's best play of the game. I mean, he played well all game, but you know, he had a goal that weekend, of course, but that was literally a heads-up play.
Yeah, it was great, and that was the second time. I think Baltz was sprung before that and got in before that for one of those chances as well. So, they did an excellent job. And, you know, Tyler Schlass was saying before the game, he said, boy, it'd sure be nice for us to get a couple-goal lead going into this thing, you know, in this game, like Fairbanks got the night before, and we did get that, so it took a lot of pressure off us.
Okay, so then we go to the, let's skip ahead again, Jackson with a couple of goals in that game, and the Huskies end up with a 3-0 lead, a 4-0 lead, and Seamus Donahue ends up getting his first goal as a Husky.
Donahue will send it to Gould on the sidewall. Lucchini still out there, protects the puck. They'll bring it around to the top of the circle. Drops it there for Donahue, who steps up on the play. Donahue with a nice move to the net. Donahue in front. Gould trying to take a shot. Here's Donahue with a shot. Scores! Seamus Donahue with the goal for the Michigan Tech Huskies to make it 5-0. That is his first goal as a Husky. They'll pick that puck up. And what a play there by Michigan Tech to keep at it and get it 5-0 with 3:27 left in the second.
I like that goal a lot, and Seamus Donahue not only scoring the goal, but he really was the catalyst behind that goal with a great move down on the goal line.
Yeah, I believe it was a scissor play that got him down the wall, and he made a good play on it. You know, we tell our D all the time, if we were looking for guys who could just play one-on-one and not get involved in the offensive attack, we actually, in our game plan, had a lot of flexibility for our defensemen in what we wanted them to do in this series. But I told them we'd have 6-3 guys here that just got on a guys and just handled it if we didn't want you to get involved in the attack. We have mobile defensemen, that have some offensive creativity for a reason, and Seamus utilized that.
We gave up a goal, but that was it. 5-1, the final. The Huskies, with 34 shots on goal, 35 for UAF, and Michigan Tech not able to score on the power play, had some good looks, 0-4, but the big thing is that the penalty kill, again, for another weekend, another night, keeping the power play of the opposing team off. 0-7, UAF was on the power plays.
Yeah, on the we didn't give up a power play goal in Alaska,
right,
at all in four hockey games. So that part of it, and again, I credit a lot. Mike Neville took some extra time recently with our players on doing that. And like I said, we've talked about this before. It means so much coming from a player, and Mike could pull out clips and use clips with guys on things that, you know, with him actually on the ice. And what Mike did in a real humble way is he showed a few stuff where he made mistakes and made bad reads and purposely did that to add the credibility that, you know, I'm not trying to be a saint here. We're trying to get a point across. And then you got to credit with some guys for just stepping up. We've kind of solidified some areas there. We've changed our thinking in some areas with some personnel. And we've got some growth out of some young defensemen that have played pivotal pivotal roles, and that penalty kill have stabilized that, and it spread out our minutes a little bit.
Before we close out here on Fairbanks, there was a hit right at the end of the game, by the way, announced yesterday that Weiss, the Fairbanks player that did hit Mark Ock, has been suspended for a game, so he will not be able to play in their next game. I didn't like the hit. I don't want you to get in trouble, so I'll talk about it, I guess, more than anything. But this hit came with 0.4 seconds remaining in the game, 5-1. It was not up against the boards. It was in the middle of the ice. Mark Ock was engaged with a guy. Mark Ock fell down with the other guy, and this player stepped up, and it appears a very intentional elbow to the head. And what scared me about this, Coach, watching it live, and then it made me even more upset watching it back on replay, is how hard it appears Ock's head goes off the ice on this too, which may have been worse than the actual hit itself. But what I didn't like about it, obviously, is when the score of the game and when this happened, you just don't have that. You know, even if that happens at the 10-minute mark of the third period, I don't feel so bad about it. But just knowing that there's nothing but the idea of taking somebody out in the mind of this player, that's what bothers me about this hit.
Well, I'll tell you, after the game, Brian Brewster told me, he said, you know, Coach, this was fun, and I wasn't happy. And I wasn't disappointed at all. I don't think that Fairbanks played a malicious game in any way. I'm not saying that in any way. What frustrates me to no end, and I will talk about it, and what I talked to Dr. Suzanne Sandergaard about, when she asked if Mark was okay, what I said, what really gets me is you knew it was going to happen. You just knew it was going to happen. And, you know, our referees, the guys that ref this weekend are good men. I know them both. I've known them since way back in junior hockey. They are good men. But there needs to be some direction on developing these guys. One of them is an older official. He's been doing this for years and years and years. There's three components in my eyes on refereeing. Number one is they have to ensure the safety of the players. Number one, first and foremost, the safety of the players is paramount. You know, number two is you're looking for consistency on how they're calling a game, which I really struggle with. One night, like Friday nights, it seems like there's very few penalties in most games that we play. And Saturday nights, when the refs are getting out of Dodge, and it's, you know, and I think when they're really showing what they are, they call penalties that are totally crazy. And then, that's very important. And then the third part is managing the game. And they all intertwine, but the management of the game, you have to know going into a game, especially when you did the Friday night game, that on Saturday, one team at home gave up a 3-0 lead. The coach is not going to be happy about that. I wouldn't be happy about it. You heard me before after the Northern series talk about how disappointed I was in compete. You'll often hear that from coaches where they'll challenge their team's compete level on they have to play harder. Well, in this instance, you know what's going to happen. Then they insert some guys in the lineup, and they start their fourth line. You know, big, heavy guys that are coming out. We had a guy concussed in the first shift of the game. Mitch Meek was out. He was out for the rest of the game. We went down to five defensemen for the rest of the game. You need to identify the dynamic. And then what ends up happening is we're in the box. And we're in the box. And we're in the box. And you're like, and I asked Kevin in the second period, the referee, I said, just be consistent. You didn't call this. None of these were calls last night. Someone's going to get hurt here because the aggressor is not getting held in check. That's game management. You know what I mean? You got to manage the game. And in that game, like, again, I say Fairbanks was not malicious in any way. They competed a little harder. They weren't malicious. That game, though, should have been five penalties total in the hockey game. Five. And with some game management, it would have kept everything in check. But you start out with Seamus Donahue, without even a warning, gets a roughing penalty for after the whistle. Where was that? You know, like we had a guy get cross-checked in the back after the, you know, right when the first period was ending. We put a puck bang, bang in the net. And our guy gets cross-checked in the back. And what's the difference between what happened there? And then they're calling, you know, we get a, then right after that, we get a holding call along the wall. Well, we sent two guys in on the wall. You know, so they're playing man for man. They're pinning us all over the ice. So the consistency, you can manage that. If you think that there's issues as officials, you can manage it and say, okay, listen, I'm going to start doing this. This is what I'm going to tell you right now. And you can manage a game, and then you can let everybody get involved and manage it. Or you can just be too impactful on the game. And I think in our league, our officials are too impactful on the standings and too impactful on games. You know, if you look over at Duluth and Mankato, two high compete games, teams, look at the penalty minutes they had in their game this weekend. I think it was 3-2. One had one power play, one had two. Michigan and Ohio State, one had like two power plays, one had one. North Dakota and Union, two highly competitive games. Rick Bennett for Union is as competitive as a man as you'll ever find. A tough guy in the National Hockey League, and we know how North Dakota plays. Three penalties and two penalties. Our game was, I'll guarantee you, no more competitive than any of those, but we come out with seven power plays and four or five power plays. It's just, it's management. Get control of the game as an official without calling the ticky-tack stuff, because when you call something soft that you didn't call the night before, then the other coach is looking for that. Then you're just, you know what I mean? You're looking for it. You're like, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, where's that different than that? Where's that different than that? You know, and you see it all over the ice. And then if it seems to go one way a little bit and you're rewarding the aggressors, then that's when it leads to somebody getting hurt. And I think that's what happened in that game. And that's what I told him after the game. I said, fellas, I'm going to tell you, this one's on you. You know, this injury is on you. You know, I told you it was going to happen, and it happened.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back. Start your questions right after this on Mix 93.
In these turbulent political and economic times, are you having trouble mapping out your financial future? Let Gary Jorgensen, a financial advisor with the America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, assist you in the development of a financial strategy to help you achieve your financial goals. The America Group is located south of Houghton on M26, 1 mile past the mall in the Lake Accounting Building. Call 482-2370 for an appointment. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hello. We're Martial Law.
Saturday night at the Calumet Golf Course. 9 o'clock. You won't be disappointed. We'll see you there.
Stock up on all your favorite snacks and beverages at Morty's Gas Station and Convenience Store in downtown Lake Linden. Check out Morty's Walk-In Cooler for all your favorite adult beverages. Morty's has a great selection of wines to choose from with monthly beer and wine specials store-wide. Don't forget about all your snacks and the latest movie rentals. Morty's is more than just a gas station. Taxes and deposit are not included on sale items. At Morty's, Lake Linden.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
No, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
What? Burgers are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Amass, 12 years been sailing through the portage to Joy Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Arr, a jambalaya bite warms me innards all through a cold Lake Superior winter night. With all you can eat three times per week, weigh anchor for a fast lunch bite or dinner with a brewski served up just right at Joey Seafood and Grill.
Joey. Welcome back to the Joe Shen Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. This hour is flying by. We've got to get to some questions. We've got another break coming up, too. So let's get to some of our questions here for you, Coach. Coach, here is your first question today. The knock on recruiting 21-year-old freshmen is that they have already reached their ceiling or their peak. They won't get any better than what you get out of them in the first year. In your college coaching experience, what players have broken that stereotype?
A lot of older players that, you know, I'm sure Balt came in as an older player. When I was at Lake State, we had a lot of guys, Will Act and Rick Schofield, that went on to NHL careers. The way I look at it and the way I talk to our guys, our staff about it, and the way I've always felt is, if you don't get in on some younger guys early, and I can't, I just about mentioned a name, and I can't mention a name on guys we have committed, but if you don't get in on some of these guys early, Alex Patan was an older player that was recruited here. If you don't get in on some skill though, early, you never get at that guy. Then you're just playing you're just recruiting. And nowadays the game you'd be playing is looking after decos, guys that decode from other teams. And if they have skill, they're getting gobbled up right away. They're decoing from BU and they're going to Michigan or something like that. They're stealing each other. You just saw an argument by two coaches on the ice in the Nacho and CHC, a couple weeks ago over one team stealing the other team's recruit at the signing deadline. So you have those types of scenarios, but you can really put the meat and potatoes of your team together. I mean, a couple of the guys that we've committed for next year are aging out of junior hockey. And so those guys, the benefit you get out of those older guys is you know what they are. And I don't look at it as the way this question is, respectfully to the person who did the question. I don't look at it as they've already reached what they are because they haven't. Because we're seeing guys right now, we're asking guys right now, to be more than they've ever been, to take that role. And we have guys that are starting to do that. And I think you have to have the environment that allows that growth, that unlimited ceiling. But at least you know what they are. You know where they can step in and help you right away. Where the younger guys, you can miss a lot easier on projecting a younger guy, hoping that he can bring that skill set to the next level over while you're waiting 2 or 3 years and jumping a league and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you recruit them in midgets and then you're recruiting them. So, but I do think that you have to go after some of those young guys that want to be part of your program. And we have some of those guys coming in next year and we have some older guys coming in. If you really look at it, teams that are bringing in older guys, have been winning national titles, Union, Providence, Quinnipiac didn't win one, but they're bringing in, a lot of them are bringing in older guys that are, that got them. Yale a couple years ago, those teams were winning national titles with older teams. And then the argument was, well, they have an advantage because they're older, and the Minnesotas and the Wisconsin, they have all younger kids. But they take those younger kids because they choose to, and they play for a year or two, and before they really get to the point where they're helping your program, they sign. So, I mean, it's a catch-22. That's why a couple of years ago there was a hidden rule they were trying to smash through to disallow, to get rid of the older guys, because the top programs, the Michigans, the Minnesotas, they want the people who have everything to offer, they want everything, you know, they want to even change the rules to give them everything. And you would just like to, every once in a while, you wish you could rotate. You don't, because I never want to leave here. But put different coaches in different programs and see, and make other programs come down and remember how it really is that for most people, you know what I mean, without, you know, the way they have to grind it through and be competitive.
Next question, Coach, goes back to the hit on Mark Ock, now that Weiss, we know that he is suspended for the game, which would be against Lake State coming up this week. And would you be in favor of a rule change in where the team that took the hit, being the Huskies, if they have to play that team again later in the season, that suspension could be served during one of those games? Would be in favor of that? That's what the question asks. Yeah.
No, I'm not in favor of that. Take care of it when it needs to be taken care of.
Says here, are our injured people recovering? Can you tell us how Mitch Meek got injured in the play? Because I didn't see that either. And do you hope that, does it seem like he'll be better anytime soon?
He'll be under protocol. I think for the most part, and thank God we've been relatively healthy while we've been growing here, because it could be devastating to be challenging our guys the way that we've challenged them, to really get them out of their comfort zone, and then to have injuries take away the availability for an individual or the team to grow. And then all of a sudden you risk losing the players when you're trying to lay everything out there for them, and you're really challenging them, you're telling them get out, and then you have a couple injuries that take you away from, because our depth is a little bit challenged. Our depth is a little bit challenged. We're not in the same place we were 4 years ago when we had Blake Hietala and Vallis and those guys. And I know some people don't like when I talk about the past, but we had great guys that were waiting to get in the lineup. Gould, Hanen, and they were all waiting to get in the lineup. And I'm talking about Malcolm Gould. But right now, our depth has to challenge more, push it even harder to get things a little bit better.
Does Keelan in coming in really help that though? Right now, I mean, that
unbelievable. Yeah. We're a much better team, and what that did in that game is that allowed us to play with Mark Ock a little bit more. We had that Leibinger situation. I love having that dynamic in your lineup where you have a forward who you don't lose anything if you put him back on D, but he can play forward. I love that dynamic. It's an important part of what you do. If you have to go down to five and penalties get involved, you have a guy you can move back there. You have two defensemen in the penalty box. You have a guy that you can move back there. And not just that, not that Todd just got in, showed he can play, but Todd can play. Mm-hmm. Like we've been saying that going in and the tough thing we had, we talked about before, the tough thing we had was that you don't want to take out Seamus Donahue, Mitch Meek, those guys have been playing really good hockey for us. Keegan Ford, those guys have been playing really good hockey for us. The guys that maybe were struggling a little bit were some of our older guys, and I love those guys to death. I love them with all my heart. And I'm not going to lose them because we know how they can play by taking them out. They're just finding themselves this year. But those are the guys you would have taken out. So you'd be taking out big-time players. Mm-hmm. To make room for that, because the other guys are actually impacting, helping you in the areas you need help. So the availability to get Todd in, we knew last year that he could play. We've talked about it steady. We weren't just giving lip service. He did a phenomenal job, and he's got to continue to grow. He showed he can play. He's hungry. You know, he can't get complacent. He's got to show that he can continue to grow and continue to help us. And that's if your players are getting better. Because you have to do that in our type of dynamic, in you know, like with us, the Northern Michigans, the Lake Spears, your players have to get better. They have to be better from freshmen to sophomores to juniors to seniors and have their best years at the end. You have to have that daily improvement, that yearly improvement. And when you do that, it sure helps out in recruiting because now all of a sudden you're not looking to replace. Now you're adding to your depth. A
couple of questions from this listener. I think you've already answered. Do you expect Ock to get significant minutes at forward? I think you've already answered that one. Next question, Coach. Are you planning on going recruiting this week?
I actually am, yeah.
Okay. And you've already talked a little bit about Smitty's play, but a little bit on Alex Smith and the way he's been playing, Coach.
Outstanding. I mean, you challenged him a couple of weeks ago. We had a good sit-down talk on a Saturday. His role is expanding. He's done a good job. I know some of the staff has done a good job with him as well, so... He's been absolutely great. That line has been great.
Next, talks about the WCHA standings, which I don't even look at because we have played so many more games than everybody else. But this question is asking you, Coach, where do you rank our team realistically right now in the WCHA?
I don't know what that means. Top four. I think we're flirting with top four. We're right on that. Flirting. We need some, you know, we play some teams that are going to be battling with us head to head, which, but teams have games in hand. They have a lot of games. You're going to see teams pass us in the standings because we played so many more games than other teams. So, some people are going to look at that and say, holy, what's happened? You know, we're going to lose a game at some point and we're going to get jumped by 6 points, you know, by somebody in the standings on a weekend or whatever. We're going to be off and teams are going to jump by us and it's really just going to be because they caught up and that we gave up points early.
At the end of the game last Saturday night, with a few seconds left, only ahead by 4 goals, why not just kill off the time instead of trying to score and risk a player getting hurt, even if it's by a real cheap shot? I'm obviously talking about the Ock hit. I don't know if this listener has actually watched the film or not, but this was not anything.
I know what they're getting at.
Coming up on a rush, he's not.
I know what they're getting at. What the person's getting at is why not just sit back, take the puck behind your net, and stand there. But we're talking about Mark Ock. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason. I mean, Mark Ock doesn't think that way. If he did, you know, there'll be a minute left, and he'll laugh if he's listening to this right now. There'll be a minute left in the game, or in a period, or in the game, in a 1-1 game, or we'll be up by a goal or something like that. And Mark Ock's going to take off with the puck. That's part of the reason why we've moved him to forward. He's going to take it. That's what Mark Ock. It's in his DNA. It's in his blood. You can't, you know, pointers point. You know, dogs point. You know, retrievers retrieve. Mark Ock rushes the puck. That's what he does. You give him a little bit of daylight, and he's going with it. And he's not thinking about the clock. He's thinking about, you know, getting a shot on goal. So that's just not the way he's not wired that way. He doesn't think that way. And, yeah, have we been trying to get Mark to think differently at times about different things? And has Mark been trying to do that differently at different times? Absolutely. But Mark Ock had no malicious intent to rub in a score or anything like that. Mark Ock, he'd have done the same thing if we were down by a goal and no one would have said anything. That's just Mark. That's just the way he is.
Here's a question, Coach. Is there a way to fix or eliminate those who are simply not ready or who are not willing to get ready, or do we have any like that? I'm not sure if they're talking about individual players, or I think that's what they're talking about.
We don't have anybody that's not willing to get ready. I really care deeply about our group. We push them as we push as we all want to be pushed. You know, there's responsibilities on all of us. I used to tell Mel all the time. Mel always liked to, you know, what was his term? He had a term, keep people on edge. Mel liked to keep people on edge. And I remember saying to him one time, hey, listen, man, you don't have to try to keep me on edge. Just so you know, I'm motivated enough here. You know, just, you know, you can do those games with somebody else, but I'm motivated enough to, I don't need to be put on edge. I don't like to play, and I'm not saying that Mel did it in any way. I don't like to play head games with guys though. I like to let them know where they stand. I want to know where I stand, you know, all the time. And I want to let them know where they stand all the time. And, we have those talks. We'll have individual meetings this week with guys one on one. It's a good time to do that with this off week. But I don't think anybody in our whole group is not trying to help this hockey team. And we're just trying to get guys to give more. And if you've never been someplace before, if you've never brought it to a level before consistently, if you've ridden your talent, which a lot of these guys can do at times, you don't know. You know, I remember Frank Anzalone used to say, these guys are working hard, but they don't, and Jeff Jackson, same thing. They don't know how hard they have to work. They're working hard, but they don't know how hard they have to work every day. Like they're still not where they need to be. And that's our job. That's the push that we have to provide, and then let the inner workings take care of themselves.
All right. Quick break. We'll be back with a couple more questions. Hang on.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Check out these deals at Bucko's all month. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. Bucko's has your Keweenaw alpaca gear to keep you warm. Keep all your beverages cold with nice ice prices. 4 bags, $5. Pick up your favorite snacks for the camp, including Jack's Original Pizzas, 3 for $11, and Red Baron Pizzas, 3 for $9.99. Pick up your RV and DNR licenses and bait with their 4-bag deal of all deals. All sales do not include tax and deposit. Bucko's, where the party starts, 5th Street, Calumet.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Reminga knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
We are really pressed for time here, so Coach, here is a couple more questions for you. What can you tell us about Jagger Williamson coming to Tech?
I can tell you signed an NLI. I think that's legal to say that. So.
Okay. And the next question, Coach, is it when talking about Fairbanks coming to Houghton later on in the season, is it possible to ask the coach to not let that player that got the game misconduct against us to walk through the handshake line? That's an interesting question.
This is athletics. You know, this is college athletics. Sportsmanship's a big part of it. We're not concerned about that in any way.
All right, Coach. Got a week off. Got a chance to heal up some bruises, right?
That's right. That's right.
And the coaching staff, I'm sure, will be very busy.
Yeah, out recruiting. We're still a few players away from where we want to be in recruiting. And then that's the push we have right now. And then we want to spend. I told the guys yesterday, the coaches yesterday, had a great talk with Brooksy. Then we want to focus on getting everybody here and get us with our group, and then start looking at some younger kids.
Very good. Huskies off this week. We'll be back with a Joe Schaan Hour on Monday, 9 o'clock, and we'll be looking more in depth of the standings and preview the big Ferris State weekend coming up. That's the Joe Schaan Hour.